there in Psalm 19 and go to Galatians chapter 5. Psalm 19 and Galatians chapter 5. So we're going to look at Psalm 19 here in a moment, in Galatians chapter 5 right now, but I just want to quote something to you. The very first few words of John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Let not your heart be troubled." I'm telling you, and I'm preaching to myself just as well, we're going to step into eternity one of these days, and we're going to look back at our life and realize that in some cases, now listen to me, in some cases, things weren't nearly so bad as we thought they were. In some cases, we were perhaps feeling discouraged or I hate to use the word depression, but I can't think of another one right now. And the truth of the matter is, everything was just fine. God was in control. "Let not your heart be troubled," the Lord Jesus Christ said. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, there is so much material, but the one particular thing I want to zero in on is the passage that we know as the fruit of the Spirit. I was talking to Brother Hickson about this on Tuesday, and I'll give you the background that I gave him in just a minute. But if you look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, the Bible says, "The fruit of the Spirit is," and I'll read that to you in just a minute, but I want to think with you for a moment. First of all, I was doing discipleship on Monday night, and I was going through this passage with some folks. And how many of you have ever taught Sunday school? You ever taught Sunday school at all? Okay. And you're teaching the students, and all of a sudden God speaks to you. And you're sort of thinking, I'm supposed to be the teacher. And all of a sudden, I'm the student, and God's teaching me as well. There is a principle in the Bible. Now listen, this is incredibly valuable. The principle says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. All right? Now, the simple application of that is, so when you give somebody a gift, the biblical principle is that the giver of the gift is more blessed than the recipient of the gift. And I know that feeling, and you do too, because when Christmas time comes, if someone gives you a gift, it's nice that you got a gift and you're glad they expressed their love, but you can't wait until they open the gift you got them. I love to give gifts. Receiving gifts is fine, but I really love giving gifts. I like to give people things. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, when you are serving God in whatever capacity and when somebody else is involved, for example, again, teaching Sunday school or working in the bus ministry or cooking cookies for Vacation Bible School or going to a jail and preaching to the prisoners or teaching someone in a discipleship class, or you get the idea. When you're serving God by serving others, God blesses you. Amen? I can't, if you haven't experienced that, it'd be kind of hard for me to describe to you, but I've told you before, when I used to go into the prisons in Salt Lake City, it was very intimidating to get into the prison, and when you were there, it was an unusual environment, and you had such opportunity to be a blessing to those men, but at the end of the day, when I left that prison, I always was so blessed at how serving God was a blessing to me. Yesterday, when those two souls got saved, reaching folks for Christ, that's a blessing to us. Brother Hickson and I were rejoicing in the Lord for two souls that were saved and the goodness of God. And when you serve God, then those blessings come. So I'm teaching discipleship Monday night, and I'm teaching the fruit of the Spirit. And just follow my train of thought here. And I read them this verse. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." That list of nine things, that is... is that what George Schaefer produces in his life? It's the fruit of the Spirit, right? So we know what fruit is. We talked about low-hanging fruit a little while ago. We have a lot of fruit out here in Arizona. I like fruit. I was looking at my trees yesterday. We're going to have some fruit this year. I get excited about that. I know it's not free, but it seems that way. By the time you buy the tree and the water and everything else, you know, you probably could have been better off going to the grocery store. But when you folks like Brother Tom and others have given me lemons, man, I love free fruit. And I didn't have to grow to make that thing grow. I just had to do just a little bit, just give it a place to grow and maybe a little protection there. And then the tree did all the work and I get the benefits. Now, why am I telling you this? Because I'm sitting there Monday night doing discipleship, and I'm teaching these folks about the fruit of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says to me, he says, well, do you have that in your life? Huh. We ought to, amen? Do we have that fruit in our life? If we don't have that fruit in our life, we must be doing something to stop it. Because the Holy Spirit is very powerful. In fact, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, the agent of creation, that when the Holy Spirit, you know, when the world was created, he was the agent of creation. Lord Jesus Christ, the one that created. But the Holy Spirit's very powerful. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And to this day, if you study science, you'll find out that vibrations are a key part of many things, the motion of atoms and so on. And the Holy Spirit's the one that got that all going. If the Holy Spirit that was present in creation can do something like that, the Holy Spirit in our life can do something great. Amen? So I'm thinking, and the Holy Spirit convicting me perhaps, we ought to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Duh. Hate to say it that way, but it just comes out. We ought to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Amen? I mean, that's an obvious thing. The Holy Spirit wants to produce that fruit. Now, let's go through that list again. Not all of it, but part of it quickly. Love. Love for God and love for others. Pretty straightforward. I'll go a little faster here. Joy. I got to ask myself, and you need to ask yourself, do you have joy in your life? That may be the place we ought to focus a little bit, and I'll tell you what robs us of our joy. What robs us of our joy is when we look around at all the things in the world that displease God, all the things in the world that aren't going... Well, let's say it differently. Seeing people suffer, that hurts your joy. That'll hurt your joy. Seeing things that God, you know, God would want it one way, it's being done another way. When you work with children, a lot of times parents can be very discouraging, and that can rob you of your joy because you know that the parents are making decisions that are bad for those children, and you can't do a thing about it. But I know all of that, but I know this, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And he wants that fruit in my life. Amen? Peace, freedom from turmoil, from trouble, from worry. I think the Lord Jesus Christ tonight wants this church to be an encouraged, joyful, peaceful church. Amen? Amen? I want to show you something in Psalm 19. It's just another tremendous passage. It's a key amongst the Psalms because it's called the Psalm of Revelation. Because here's my theory, here's my thought. When you're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and he is present in your life and he is preeminent, he is what you're focusing on and he's who you're listening to and he's who you're serving, you're going to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And I think it's that problem that we have is that we get too far away from the Lord and we get too caught up in circumstances and take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, and we lose that joy and that peace that God wants us to have. So I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word, and I promise you I won't be but about 15 or 20 minutes here looking at Psalm 19, just three quick thoughts, and I'm going to read about the first half of the psalm, roughly, a little bit further than that. This is Psalm 19, verse 1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, tonight, in just these few moments, Lord, I pray that you would just allow us to be encouraged. God, thank you so much for the power that we see in the lives of folks who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the awe that we have when we view creation and the greatness of what you've done, your works, your handiwork. We also are moved and daily we are encouraged and strengthened by the Word of God. And Lord, tonight as we assemble here as a needy people, Father, I pray that we would realize that it is your Holy Spirit's desire to produce abundant fruit in our lives. And I pray that each one here tonight could leave saying that the fruit of the Spirit is growing in them, that there is love and joy and peace in their heart, and that long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance the Holy Spirit can produce, that we would see those abundantly in our lives, and that we would not do anything to quench or to hinder the Holy Spirit, but that we would provide that place where that fruit can go richly, and that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified in our lives. I pray you'd bless us as we look into this psalm briefly this evening. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. We've actually spent time in this psalm before, so I'm not going to try to go through it in great detail. I just want to show you three things very quickly. Again, I believe with all my heart that if our eyes are on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we honestly are paying attention to God and the works of God and the power of God and the fact that God's got everything under control, if we look at it that way, it's going to allow us to see greater fruit in our life by the Holy Spirit. So three thoughts very quickly. Number one is this. If you want to see God, just look up. If you want to see God, just look up. And there's a obvious thing here in the passage about that, and there's also a metaphor there, but let me show you the obvious one. The Bible says in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens, of course, being the stars and the outer reaches there. The firmament showeth his handiwork. That is the nearer space there that we see where the birds fly and those sorts of things. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And there's no speech or language where the voice is not heard. Anybody could do this. You can look up and you can see the creation and you can realize what a great God we have. Folks, that great God that we have is the same God that's in control. Someone says, well, what if an asteroid hits the earth? I'm not really worried about it because I know one of these days the earth is going to get some things a lot worse than asteroids, but I'm not going to be here. And in the meantime, I trust God. Amen? I'm sure I've told you this story. We had a bunch of people at a church picnic one time, and there was a big lightning storm. We were all out playing softball in the lightning. Not so wise. But I was thinking, if God wants to strike us with lightning, he'll strike us with lightning. And the truth of the matter is, folks, when you look at creation, you see the power of God. That's the God that loves us. That's the God that sent his son to die and pay for your sins. Amen? That's the God that you pray to. That's the God that has such power that and such infinite wisdom that he can shape the tiniest little details. I like to watch the hummingbirds, for example. We have a lot of hummingbirds out here. And to this day, it amazes me. How can that bird move that fast, that long? That's astounding to me. And look how he's built. And look at all the little things that God has done. And yet, you've heard stories, perhaps, of some of the power in the universe, the black hole, and it's such a tremendous force that light cannot even escape from it. And all those things, folks, those are just toys in the hand of God. Do we really think that we need to be worried about things when that God's in control? Just look up. Look at what he can do. Look at what he is capable of. There is not one problem that you can think of in your life that God's not big enough to solve. And there's not one issue in your life that God doesn't care about. The Bible says even the number of hairs on our head are numbered. What an insignificant fact. Now, for some of us, that number might be very small and easy to calculate, I'm looking around the night. Most of you gentlemen have got some hair left. I don't know. We had some folks in our church in Maryland that were bald could be. The number was zero. But that's not the case here. But who cares how many there are? And yet God knows. How many birds are there? Oh, who could even begin to keep track? When one bird dies, God knows. And he cares. And you're telling me that he doesn't care about your problems? You're telling me he doesn't know your health needs, your financial needs, your spiritual needs, your family needs? You're telling me he wouldn't hear your prayers? Give me a break. This is the God that created the universe and that loved us enough to send his son to die on the cross and pay for our sins. If you want to see God, just look up. That is, by the way, that's called general revelation. And I have no doubt in my heart at all that when people stand before God one day and I don't think any of them are going to be so foolish as to say, well, I thought the world was produced by evolution. When they see God, just like that, they're going to realize, you know what? In the beginning, God created. That's just that simple. It is so obvious. I cannot imagine anybody being such a fool that he would believe in evolution, except the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I'm not trying to insult those folks, but it's just, look at creation and tell me you think that's an accident. If you want to see God, look up. If you want to know God, open up. That's number two. If you want to know God, open up. Look at verse 7. Now watch these titles here. The law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandment, the fear of God is clean, the judgments are sure. And he's talking about the Word of God in each of those aspects there, each of those titles. But folks, isn't it great to know that you can open the Bible and not just know that there is a God, but see exactly what that God loves, what that God hates, what he wants from us, and how much he loves us. And how far do I have to read in my Bible before I see the love of God? There's a thread, folks have called it. There is a connection between the first and the last verses in the Bible. And as you begin to go through them, you see this scarlet thread, this connection all through where the Lord Jesus Christ is continually on the mind of God. In the Old Testament, we see all these allusions to Jesus Christ and sometimes direct references. And then in the New Testament, we see him revealed. And why is the Lord Jesus Christ so important? Because he is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Amen? But I know that, but he takes away the sins of me as well. I am saved because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so are you. We told this young man on Tuesday morning that was sitting on top of his vandalized car and talked to him about what Jesus had done for him. And I can look at that young man's situation and I can think, here's a young man, he's been in the stage 3 months, he's from Samoa, he's 19, his car's trashed, he works at Walmart. Humanly speaking, he doesn't have a lot of hope. But he may not quite realize it yet. We might not quite realize it yet. But do you understand that on Tuesday morning, his eternal destiny changed from hell to heaven? His sins were wiped off the books. And now that young man is going to have a home with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. Who cares about a car? By the way, God's got cars. Amen? I know a missionary that God gave a car. I know lots of people God's given cars to. God can give that young man a car or fix the one he's got, but he now has eternal life. That same Lord Jesus that you can see in the Bible. If you want to know God, open up the Bible. That same Lord Jesus that is in the Bible, the same one that was, again, the author of creation. The Bible says all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. That same Jesus died for my sins. And all I got to do to meet with him is to open up this book. You know why we don't have joy and peace in our life? We're not spending enough time with God. We're not getting excited about the things of God. We're not seeing God You haven't got to see, God doesn't have to knock on your front door and give you a big box of gifts to be real to you. He's already given you the greatest gift he possibly could. And he's right there every day. All you got to do is open up and meet with him in the Word of God. And then finally, if you want to honor God, bow down. Look at verse 12. He says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. I just start with that first phrase, who can understand his errors? You know why we sin? Because we fail to realize how great God is and how great of an offense our sin is toward him. Remember Joseph, when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, he said, how can I do this and sin against God? It's knowing God and being close to God that keeps us from sin. And he says here, who can understand his error? Can we really realize who we have sinned against? You know, if I drive down the road too fast or run a stop sign, I am in trouble with, Maricopa County or whoever it is that enforces the laws here, and I have offended that particular judicial system. But when I sin against God, I've offended against the creator of the universe. That's a horrible thing. Our sin is a horrible thing. If you could see God the way he ought to be seen in the Bible, it would change the way we live our life. And that's one of the things that discourages me sometimes, is I can't believe people don't realize that and honor him more than they do. If you want to honor God, bow down. He says in verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And what he's saying there is, he says, Lord, I want to be holy before you. There's a desire that comes with salvation. There's a conviction of sin. There is a guiding by the Holy Spirit into that which is right. And sometimes folks can push back against that and lose their joy because of that. But I'm telling you, if you'll humble yourself before God, he'll lift you up. We were talking about that on Tuesday as well, about in Chronicles, where the Bible talks about the criteria for revival. And I do believe in my heart that you and I, as individuals, as members of Vision Baptist Church, as individuals, need to humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And draw close to him and draw away from sin. If you want to know, if you want to see God, look up. If you want to know God, open up. If you want to honor God, bow down. And the fruit of the Spirit is there for the picking. As we draw close to God, he'll draw close to us. Amen? I would sure like to see in the days ahead our church become a soul-winning station, a lighthouse, a place to where people know the truth is preached here and preached with the power of the Holy Spirit, and that lives are being changed and that souls are being saved. But that begins with each of us as individuals, doesn't it? If the Lord Jesus Christ could take 11 men, add Paul to the mix, and turn the world upside down, I think he can take a group like this and do have some impact on Phoenix, Arizona. Amen? And he's going to if we'll let him. And I'm not worried about that, because here's something I know, and that is I have the opportunity as an individual to walk with God, and God's will is going to be done, and God's Son is going to be honored, and God's judgment is going to be executed. But wouldn't it be an even more glorious thing if we could band together as a church and draw close to God and see that fruit of the Spirit many times over? That's kind of the difference between a fruit tree and an orchard. You know, I've got one orange tree in my backyard. I'm not going to be able to feed the thousands with one orange tree unless the Lord gets involved. But if all of us had an orange tree, think of how many oranges we could produce. If all of us became soul winners, think of how many folks could be saved. Amen? If all of us became prayer warriors, think of how much work God could accomplish through our church. Let's step forward and see God work. Amen? But not in a sense of panic or, oh no, what if God doesn't do anything? Not there at all. No, it starts with knowing God, wanting his presence in our life, And seeing that fruit of the Spirit began to grow and multiply. And that's when we're going to have a greater impact on our community. So as we take our time of prayer requests tonight, I'm going to remind you again, I'd like to ask each one of you to be in prayer for a soul to be saved in our services on Sunday morning. And I'd like to ask you to pray for God to send us a visitor on Sunday and to bless our church. But let's also ask God to work in our hearts. Amen? So who has prayer requests tonight? And we'll take